radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when Houston sports teams come for you? Aziz Alshahir with his forearm, or Ime Udoka, coming after a ref swarm. That almost rhymed.
You're pretty close.
Phonetically, if you spell it out, it could have rhymed.
Yeah.
But in spoken word, it's not. Anyway, you want to jump in, you can. 713-780-3776 to call in and text it. I'm just going all in on trolling Joe George on our Twitch at ESPN 975.
Yeah, I'm defending Notre Dame's honor on the Twitch right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, well, they have no honor.
They have plenty of honor.
They don't even play in a conference.
They play all the same teams that the ACC plays.
Yeah, that's true. But
so they're in the ACC?
But they refuse to actually join the ACC.
Because they make more money than the ACC.
I mean, that's debatable.
They also just get to play MAC teams and beat up on them.
Right, exactly.
They just easy wins against MAC teams.
You're right, but how did Notre Dame do against Georgia Tech this year?
Wow, George, they beat Georgia Tech?
It took
unbelievable.
Guess what? It took Georgia 8 overtimes to do it.
Yeah, because it's a rivalry game.
They beat Georgia Tech 31-13. So,
wow, congratulations. Notre Dame belongs in the college football playoff because they beat, get this, Georgia Tech and Texas A&M cast out.
And Penn State's best win is against USC. Notre Dame beat them.
Congratulations on beating the team that never beats anyone.
Just saying, like, all the good arguments for
Didn't even play Syracuse. What are we talking about here?
Why don't they play Syracuse?
The last time Syracuse played Notre Dame, they got skull-bleeped. It was a murder. And Syracuse was actually good that year. I think Syracuse was like a 12th. They played it at New York at Giants Stadium. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, they played in 2022 was the last time they played.
Yeah, we don't talk about that game.
Maybe they'll play next year.
We'll see. That's true.
Maybe they play in Ireland?
The ACC is getting so damn big that it's hard to play every single team over the course of three seasons if you're Notre Dame and in the ACC without actually being in the
ACC. I do think Notre Dame's going to have to leave. They're going to have to join a conference eventually.
They will. And
yeah. Oh, they play next year. Syracuse and Notre Dame.
And Ime Udoka is going to have to get out his frustration somehow, some way. This is Ime Udoka after last night's Houston Rockets loss in the NBA Cup. Doesn't matter, Brian. They're on to the quarterfinals to the Sacramento Kings. He was not happy with some calls that led to him and Alperen Şengün getting ejected.
Wasn't too happy about the officiating there. What was going on? What did you see out there on the floor that you was disappointed?
Missed calls, blatant missed calls right in front of you. You know, you're calling ticky-tack moving screens and little shit like that, and then you don't want to call the obvious ones right in front of you. So that was it. Alper got fouled a few times on that drive and on the layup, and they don't want to call it. And so I'm gonna get some glasses, open your eyes.
How important is it in those moments for you to stand up for your team so that they know you have their back?
I mean, it wasn't even about that, honestly. Alper got one, but take your sensitivity and emotions out of it and call the game the right way. It's obvious right in front of you, and John Goble, whoever it was, sees it and doesn't call it. I'm going to let him know about it.
You made it. Did John say anything in your conversation that kind of escalated it for you?
No. Been missing calls all night and calling moving screens and every other little touch call the obvious one.
The low energy way, he says, get some effing glasses, makes me more intimidated by Ime Udoka. He's not yelling this like he's Stephen A. Smith. No, he's just out there casually saying, get some effing glasses.
It's very, like John Wick. Like, very, calm demeanor before he kills you.
I mean, John Wick wasn't very calm. They killed his dog.
Yeah, but, like, he never, like... But, like
John Wick was
like,
calm before they killed his dog.
Yeah, but even, like, as he's, like, doing things, like, it's, like, he's not, like...
What movie did you watch?
No, like, he's a killer, but, like, he's not, like, screaming. Like, he's just a badass. He's like, a silent badass.
Okay, that's fair, yeah. But I mean, he's constantly moving and
oh yeah, yeah,
and killing the bleep out of people.
Like I can see
it's high
Udoka.
Energy violence.
Yeah, yeah. Ime Udoka could give you high energy violence,
but he's not emotion. It's not like high emotional violence.
Yeah, maybe it's the tone of their voice that like is what it is for me. Like Keanu Reeves and Ime Udoka, like just the way they talk.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
Yeah. Like, I could hear Keanu Reeves saying exactly what Ime Udoka just said to a referee before he kills him.
Get some glasses?
Yeah.
There is an energy that John Wick says, I'm thinking I'm back. Like, he's losing his mind
that's
there.
That's true.
No, Udoka is kind of
the embodiment of the Ghetto Boys hit song, Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangster. Mm. You know? It's just casually known by all that he could beat anyone's ass. And that referee knew, he almost pooped himself.
And you know what?
On the court, as Udoka was getting ejected, Udoka gave a second peace of mind, and I'm sure that it was louder than the way he speaks into a microphone, but Udoka will chirp, called LeBron James a soft-ass boy in the middle of a game. That's why we do a soft boy segment every single Wednesday at 12:30, and I enjoyed that from Ime Udoka. I feel like Houston sports have a lot of very enjoyable characters to root for, and a lot of them happen to be on the Houston Rockets right now.
Yeah, he also, I saw Adam Spillane tweet this. He also reminded us that he told Jabari Smith that if he's going to throw a punch, he might as well land it last year. That also happened from Ime Udoka. And then he told Amen Thompson to aim lower after he was ejected for elbowing someone in the head.
Yeah, elbow them in the neck.
Yeah, just be like Aziz.
Aziz Alshayer.
Go for the neck, not the head. But yeah, I love watching. I mean, Ime Udoka, like, he's getting the most out of this team. It's really, I think it's the reason why they're there. Like, what Amen Thompson and Tari Eason bring defensively, but the way he's also gotten Jalen Green to buy in defensively, all these guys, like, he's the perfect coach for this team.
How much more buying in can we get Jalen Green to do? Because I feel like Jalen Green, I know he has a child with this woman, but I feel like Jalen Green's going to need to get Drya Michelle out of his life. So Drya Michelle, she's a very strong, powerful, independent woman and the mother of Jalen Green's kid. Apparently, she had a home with former Texans quarterback Tyrod Taylor. She dated him for a while. And Tyrod Taylor has since been told to, has told Drya Michelle to leave the house that he bought for her. So essentially, she is a squatter.
Yeah.
Drya Michelle in a California home. Poor Tyrod Taylor, he's on the Jets. I don't know if the Jets have accidentally stuck a needle into his chest that caused him to miss a game check as a backup or anything like that. But you would think that someone like this, who's like refusing to move out of a house that somebody else bought, if this person moves into Jalen Green's house with a child, that we might not be getting the most out of Jalen Green. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what matters most. Your family, your children. No, basketball. Ball is life.
Yeah, ball is life. And let her squat with your child in some other man's house.
I think Jalen Green had the good situation because she wasn't living with him. Now she and the kid are going to be living with him, I would assume.
Well, she might have other options.
She might. Well,
we don't know if they're dating. I think they are dating, but which actually they can't. That's so strange if they're dating. She's just like squatting in this dude's house. Jalen, buy her a house.
So maybe they're talking to each other then.
I mean, she put out like clapping emojis when he got paid.
Yeah,
she was all excited about his contract.
Well,
he's got the money clearly.
Is the house in Houston?
No, I think it's in New York.
Like, the house is in California.
Oh, it's in California.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. Jalen, buy a house in California. Train there in the offseason before you're like a Clipper.
No, I would encourage him to set boundaries here. Entirely from the perspective of the Rockets. Listen, I understand he has a child.
Yeah.
The child will be well compensated.
Yes.
Do I expect Jalen Green to listen? This is anyone who is in their early 20s as a father. It's going to be, you know, it's a lot. Especially if your job is, you know, traveling from city to city playing a sport. It's a lot. So, like, I would not encourage Drya Michelle to move in with me if I were in his shoes. Some might call that messed up. You got money. Just throw some money at the problem.
Yeah, just, you know.
You don't need to be a father. You need to be a provider.
Yeah, I mean, look, you never know. I mean, she might go back to, you know, Gilbert Arenas or Deshaun Stevenson.
No,
or
they don't have money no more.
Orlando Scandrick.
Listen.
Yeah, or Chris Brown.
What, that Chris Brown?
The artist?
Yeah.
Yes, that's her.
No, not the Texans' former kicker.
not enough money.
That'd be crazy if he was in that list.
That would be, I mean, good for a kicker. Jumping
honestly,
that
like,
list.
If it was, like, I'd say, hey, do whatever she wants, man. Like, she's got a laundry list.
She's a strong, independent woman, and you're shaming her for that laundry list.
You know what?
List.
Don't think you can be a strong, independent woman. You can be a strong woman, but not independent when you're living in another man's house and you won't leave.
Well, that's pretty independent to not leave.
You bring up a good point there.
It's pretty fair point.
You can be independent living in someone's house that you didn't buy, and he wants you out.
She's showing her independence, though, by refusing to leave.
That's true.
Yeah, you know? No one can tell her where to live.
I think she's just showing her strong women part of being willing to be a squatter.
Dry Michelle, the American colonist in 1776. What's the difference?
Yeah, it's the same picture, Your Honor.
They said no. Can't kick me off my land.
Yeah.
Dry Michelle and the Native American tribes who were forced off their land. What's the difference? What's the difference?
Do you think Tyrod Taylor and Aaron Rodgers
Native Americans
talk about
got screwed
this?
And Dry got screwed, right? Like, so, I mean, like, what are we talking about?
I don't think Aaron Rodgers talks to his teammates.
You don't think him and Tyrod Taylor are just, like, talking about, like, their crazy exes?
Just, like, in the no quarterback room, just like, hey, what's going on, Tyrod? Well, let me tell you.
I just saw, like, a TMZ story the other day about Woodley, Shane Woodley or whatever her name is, saying that her relationship with Aaron Rodgers was toxic. So, you know, him
an
and
actress,
Aaron Rodgers and
sociopath
Tyrod,
quarterback.
You know,
who would have thought
they got bonding moments over the ladies in their past life?
Just cracking open a cold one, man,
getting some ayahuasca.
Yeah, I was gonna say
she just won't leave. I just want to do ayahuasca with you, Aaron, in the living room. She won't leave.
Sounds like a fun living room.
Yeah, why not?
Who hasn't wanted to do ayahuasca? Actually, I've heard that if you do ayahuasca, you will be puking and you will be,
you'll be doing what that ref did when Ime flinched at him.
You'll be following through though. You will have no control over your bowels. Your bowels will be everywhere.
You'd wish you're John Goble.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, I mean, listen, it's not Dry Michelle's house. So like it's okay if she does it at that place.
Oh yeah.
Tyler Taylor's going to have a stiff cleaning bill if Dry Michelle and Jalen Green are doing ayahuasca there.
That's what you do. You trash it and then leave.
What, like your DeAndre Hopkins at that hotel in Indianapolis before the NFL draft? Allegedly, yes. Could have been the other guy.
I forgot about that.
A lot of people did, including the Texans. Favorite part about that night of the draft was hearing someone from Texans PR right before they put DeAndre Hopkins on a conference call with all of Houston media, was hearing that person say, all right, so they're going to ask you about the hotel room in Indianapolis. Like, I could hear this around the corner, and I just started laughing. It's funny. You got to tell the guy, like, hey, like, when you're going to get asked about the poop that was on the hotel room walls, someone's going to ask it. I forget who asked it. Hey, so it looks like you guys missed the toilet a little bit, you know? And what does that mean to you as a player, you know, who's trying to take on the National Football League? Does that mean you're... Is that you trying to say that you're going to bleep all over every cornerback out there? Anyway, he's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's behind the glasses. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Let's go right through. Aziz Alshayer is having his 3-game suspension appeal heard. I don't know how long that meeting was, but we have not seen anything about a change in the suspension of late. Lots of people have hot takes on this. We've, of course, had our own hot takes on it, but it's been really interesting to hear guys like Stephen A. Smith come after Aziz Alshayer. Here is Stephen A. Smith on the warpath.
Now I got him. That's stupid. Why would you do that? You watched the play.
Uh-huh.
You played the position. You played in the sport. You played defense. You knew how egregious it was.
Yeah.
You knew how egregious it was. Not only that, you know the rules and how the rules have changed. This ain't 20 years ago. This ain't 30 years ago. So you're coaching now. You're in your second year as a head coach. You are fully aware of the rules and regulations that come with the sport in today's game. You played the position on the defensive side of the ball. You knew how egregious it was. And before the fine comes down, you're going to actually defend them? That's probably why I got 3 games instead of 2.
Yeah.
But D'Amico Ryan, you're supposed to shut the hell up until the penalty is instituted. Then you speak.
Yeah,
he spoke before. And so now,
maybe
because
he was trying to influence the penalty.
Trying to spin.
And he cost him.
And I'm saying to you,
I don't know if he cost him. Stephen A. Smith's arguing that D'Amico Ryan's weighing in, defending Aziz Alshayer, kind of blaming Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars sideline the way that he did, is the reason that the suspension was for 3 games. I don't buy that. I am of the belief that D'Amico knew before, probably saw the letter. Letter became public.
Yeah, I'm with you. He doesn't know the timeline. He also, then people found a clip of him like saying to hit the quarterback when they're sliding.
Yes, as I was about to get to. Here is Stephen A. Smith in a past life. I'm sure after watching a replay of Patrick Mahomes doing his bull bleep on the sidelines, saying this is what you should do when a quarterback is perhaps almost sliding.
Defenses, knock their block off. Knock their block off. Hey, I thought he was going to fake slide. That's why I took him out. Put a hat on him.
You guys stick to what your guns are. Like, people challenged us on that about if it was C.J. Stroud. It's got to be the same standard all the time. You can't have that clip. You can't literally tell them to knock their block off and then also be this upset when this happens.
Yeah.
So.
What's up with that?
I mean, it's Stephen A. Smith. He doesn't keep track of what he says.
I wouldn't either if I were him.
Yeah. Or do his producers, like, inform him of factual information, like when meetings take place with D'Amico Ryans, and he just assumes and jumps to conclusions.
I mean, he could have Tony Reale go back to what he used to be on ESPN, which was the stat guy for part of the interruption before Around the Horn became a thing.
Hey, what is Tony going to do now that Around the Horn's been canceled?
I don't know. I like Tony Reale.
I do too. He's great.
So that's what he could do, is just fact check Stephen A. Smith in a charming way.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
But yeah, the national reaction to this is not surprising. And it's always going to be what it is at first. Like the coaches, the players, like predominantly, we played the Rex Ryan sound earlier. Mm-hmm. He's going to stand up for the defensive player, blame Trevor Lawrence a little bit there, kind of clearly victim blaming. And then this is where the TV shows really fail themselves, is when you force people to have opposite opinions. Because then they walk into situations like this.
Well, do you think they're being forced to have opposite opinions here?
I think so.
I think Stephen A. Smith just shows up and everyone kind of adapts.
You think that, but see, maybe it's around him. Like, I just feel like they always, because they're always debating something. They're never in agreement. There's always two sides to a story.
Well, I think there's some manufactured debate. I don't know if it's quite that, where they're forcing everyone to have differing opinions. I do think a lot of people, more in this situation, fell into groupthink. A lot of people seem to have the same opinion once they saw the highlight of the clip.
Mm-hmm.
And there were very few people that thought about it from the defender's perspective. And understandably so. I mean, you watch that hit in real time. Good God. But you watch it a couple of times and you think about it. And you do realize that it's unnecessary roughness for sure. But was there intent behind it? Was it dirty? And a lot of people aren't thinking about that, because a lot of people haven't been in that situation before. And I really think it does help to have played at any level of football and have found yourself in a situation like that.
Yeah, and then as we saw the kind of the pushback start to happen, we saw a lot of people's opinions flip. We saw John McClain. He called it the dirtiest play he'd ever seen in 48 years, and then he walked it back the next day.
Did he walk it back?
He put out a tweet where he was defending the hit, or saying the hit wasn't as bad as he thought. Like, it's like the initial reaction is obviously a disaster. Like, everyone thinks the hit's bad. But
I didn't see the walk back one, but I did see him basically trying to say, like, well, the Jack Tatum hit of Daryl Stingley in the day, which paralyzed him. Like, that was legal back in the day. It was like, well, it's still a cheap shot. You know, cheap shots can be legal and illegal.
Yeah, like,
today they are more legal than not.
Because I think some of the people who got, even, you know, when people were challenging us on Monday about it, were almost trying to take it as, like, we were saying, like, it shouldn't even been a penalty.
It's
definitely a penalty. A suspension definitely is warranted.
But I don't think you should be put in stocks or sent to jail or executed.
I don't think it's for me to decide. I think it's for John Runyan to decide whether he gets put in the stocks or not.
That's true. John Runyan, the clear Bobo of the league, you know, just doing what he is told, was the one who put out that statement that did seem to slander Al Shaier's character. And the person who heard the Aziz Al Shaier appeal today, Ramon Foster, big ragu, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll see what he says. We'll see if there's any change.
Hopefully it's intelligent. I mean, maybe he likes Aziz when he worked for the Titans.
Hopefully,
last year.
He's intelligent.
And, like, realize it wasn't that bad. I don't know. Like, it's just it was an overreaction.
I feel like you're putting.
Yeah, come on,
big ragu. Come on, man.
He's smart enough to make awesome lasagna.
Joe's thinking that Ramon Foster's coming in here, and he's just He's like slipping all over the pasta that he left on the floor because he's not intelligent. He's just this big, goofy lasagna making idiot.
Like Kevin in The Office dropping the chili.
No, just be smart. Drop the suspension.
The first way you said that
I
was
know.
Funny.
I know. It's lasagna. I
hope he's intelligent. Yeah. Like, well,
I hope
damn,
he is.
Dude. I hope everyone is.
It shouldn't be a three. Well, John Runyon's not. Very clearly.
Yeah, I think John Runyon's just like the Luca Brasi of the NFL. He's just doing what he's told.
Yeah. Just Rog right. just calling
careful
in.
Careful when you get in your car.
What if Roger Goodell just wrote the whole thing and he just signs his name at the bottom?
That's what I think
that's
happened.
What happened.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
The NFLPA said Roger Goodell can't hand out the punishment, so he's just like, well, I'll just write everything. You just sign it.
Yeah.
Good
they,
to go.
They should have cited more. You know what works, guys? Bullet points. Bullet points work.
Yeah.
You're going to say that he's done things in the past, and you're going to put this statement out, which they did. Like, everyone saw it. It's not one of these things that got kept private. In that statement, do your effing job. And have the bullet points of what he did. Because honestly, any good lawyer is going to say, well, what did he do? The statement doesn't say anything that he did. It seems more subjective and judgmental than anything. And now that statement's already out there. The document's out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, remember in the offseason when there was a, I think it was, I can't remember if it was the players meeting or just a referee meeting. And they pointed to the Texans and Jimmy Ward out specifically as they were talking about a hip drop tackle. Why don't they just do that? Like, if you're going to point it out, put a video statement out of what you're saying. Read it, and then say, this play, and this play. And show them. Not just letting the Twitter montage that not as many people see as everyone thinks. Because not everyone's on Twitter. But, like, just put out a video and say, hey, these are the reasons why you are a habitual line stepper and you're suspended. But instead, they put out this broad, generic statement.
Yeah, it feels like John Runyon was assigned a task and he didn't do it as well as he could.
Yeah.
Sort of like Luca Brasi struggled to read that. Thank you note to the Godfather on this the day of my godfather on this the day of my daughter's wedding on this the day of my godfather's on this the daughter of my god like you know we talk about intelligence that man lacks intelligence Joe Luca Brasi who's now dead and gone forever
spoiler
R.I.P. yeah he's the first one to go
I was gonna say he dies like
honestly
a third of the way into the
movie doesn't get going until Luca dies. It's pretty, you know, like, oh, the horse, but like the horse head in the bed. But then, no. Luca dying. It's like, oh, damn, okay. He's Joe and Paul. Wash Watch Wednesday. Up next with Sean Behind the Glass on Gallon and George. Who is washed? Could this holiday tradition be dead? We'll discuss. Stay put. Be back.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
A lot of chatter about Azeez Al-Shaair, his suspension, 3 games by the National Football League. A lot of people rolling their eyes that this story is still occupying the top of the tabloids, if you will. But guys, I mean, it's the biggest story in town. It really is.
For sure.
And I really wondered last night, watching Rockets and Sacramento Kings, you know, where would the Texans be if they didn't run Dusty Baker out of town? Where would they be if Dusty Baker was still their head coach? Where would they be? Because Dusty Baker, I saw a picture of Dusty with Vanessa Richardson. Because Dusty lives in Sacramento, you know. Former Texans head coach, Dusty Baker. Do you think that Azeez Al-Shaair would have done that if Dusty Baker was still the head coach?
No, if Dusty Baker is he's a great man.
Yeah.
He would never allow cheating or anything bad to happen on his team.
It's a shame that the Texans ran Dusty Baker out of town.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And I do think it's funny a lot of people are pointing to like D'Amico Ryans as the reason that this happened. And
yeah, they say they're saying the Texans are undisciplined because of him.
This one play, I mean, he's literally doing exactly what D'Amico tells him to do. You know,
they're swarming,
right?
They're swarming. They're doing exactly what their coach tells them to do.
Is
to play aggressive and to attack. Mm-hmm. Relentless mindset.
If Dusty was still head coach of the Houston Texans before they ran him out of town the way that they did, you know, Super Bowl winning head coach. Dusty would have told him, hey, you don't put the forearm to them. You just give them a high five to the face.
Oh, what if that's what Aziz was doing?
Smack! Yeah.
I mean, we've all met those people who don't like to, you know, like shake hands because they're germaphobes or whatever. Aziz was just, you know, giving the forearm bump when you see someone, like back in COVID times.
Elbow?
Yeah, a little elbow.
Give him the nub?
Yeah, he was just waiting for it back. I mean, Trevor, never mind.
Never mind. Say it.
I think I know. I think I know where he's going.
Hit it.
Trevor put his hand up for a high five.
Jeez, Louise. That wasn't a high five, Joe.
I don't think Joe would have told that joke if Dusty Baker was still around.
I don't think he would have. Dusty Baker had the Texans really in a better place because they were better guys. Now they're the bad boys of the NFL, which is fun.
Was that play Texans worthy?
Not under Dusty Baker's watch.
Under D'Amico's watch, though, yes.
A lot of people are texting in. Paul, Dusty Baker was never head coach of the Houston Texans. Sir, where have you been? Clearly, someone just jumped back on the bandwagon the last 2 years.
Yeah. Someone doesn't remember 2022.
Yeah.
Right.
Super Bowl champions.
Or 2021.
Holding the Lombardi trophy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Some people got annoyed with me when I made that joke last night.
Really?
Yeah, I got accused of engagement farming. I was like, no, I'm just putting terrible jokes out. Which is worse.
For the love of the game.
I feel like anytime someone just like puts something on Twitter that you don't like, people just accuse them of
engagement farming. Texans Twitter's doing it because I did it to Texans commenter for his Gluck Gluck 9000-esque post about C.J. Stroud having a good season because he's top five in passing yards, even though he'd played more games than all but eight quarterbacks in the league. But that's fine. We're cool, I think.
Yeah, and defensive stressings, actually. Casario said the same thing yesterday. When he was talking about C.J. Stroud's, the first thing he pointed to was passing yards.
God.
It made me want to vomit.
That's gross. But okay, listen. So Texas commenter.
W for him, I guess.
He's more in line. He's more in line. That's annoying. Nick Casario, bro, you worked for Bill Belichick. The stats are for losers. Final scores for winners. Whatever.
Big dub for Strassens.
Time for, not washed. At Texans commenter.
No, free this week.
Time for another edition of Washed Watch Wednesday.
We all know something or someone that's washed.
He was a bum then, and he's a bum now.
From dating apps.
Swipe, 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 swipe.
To Skip Bayless.
It's my turn!
To Scott Boras. It's time to find out who's on Washed Watch on Gallant and George.
Brand Brown is washed. Head coach of Syracuse football.
Can't confirm.
Because he only showers after victories. And in case you missed it, my beloved Syracuse Orange took down T-shirt Dells, Miami Hurricanes on Saturday.
I do feel like he's a little bit of a hypocrite, though, Paul.
Who?
Fran Brown.
Why?
Because after the game, he said he only cares about going to the ACC championship game, winning a national championship game. So if he's going to set that standard, then he's a loser. So he shouldn't shower until he wins a national championship.
Well, hang on.
Winners get washed.
Winners get washed. He won on Saturday.
But according to himself, he's not a real winner.
Well, if he really wins, then he can take a bubble bath.
But
I think he's just showering here.
That makes sense.
Might be the old Adam Carolla special.
Shower.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla never uses soap and brags about this all the time. It's definitely a red flag.
Wait.
He just uses hot water.
Well, what's the point of the shower then?
The hot water.
But you don't get clean.
The hot water cleans you.
So he just rinses.
Yeah.
He doesn't lather.
I guess not.
I guess that's how they used to do it back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Like, anyway,
but before running water,
they famously stunk back in the day.
Exactly.
Famously, they still stunk.
Maybe he doesn't have BO.
Does he use toothpaste? Like, where's his end?
You know what? I bet you Adam Carolla, like, you go into his car, and there's just, like, a ton of, like, Axe cans. Just,
no.
Just, like, honest.
No, stuff. He definitely, 100% just, not.
Like, it's, you know, not me that. In 2013.
He's a blue-collar guy that used to work construction. So.
Old Spice, man.
Anyway, Joe, what is washed?
All right, so I was listening to Arian Foster's podcast, Macrodosing. This is where I first heard this. And then it's something that I continue to hear over a couple other days, that people this year bailed on turkey. Arian Foster made brisket for Thanksgiving. I was listening to another podcast. They said they were doing steaks for Thanksgiving. And they want to start calling it Steaksgiving because turkey is not good and we should stop eating it.
Wow.
Now, I like turkey, But I don't love turkey. And I kind of felt inspired by this. And I think next year, I might have some steaks as well, and a smaller turkey.
It is interesting that turkey became the de facto dish, a dish that's really, you know, the bird itself. It's found in the Northeast. In Massachusetts, you'll see these things everywhere. Of course, the first official Thanksgiving supposedly took place in the place where I was born, Plymouth County, Massachusetts. I'm with you here. First off, cooking a turkey is very difficult. You need experience. You got to keep the thing actually from drying out. You got to start cooking it at the right time so that it's still warm when it's served to everybody. It's a lot of work. And I'll say this about the Thanksgiving that I was at in Connecticut. Turkey was an option, but my brother-in-law's younger brother, he cooked steaks. So we had a lot of steak to pick through. And leftovers left after the fact, in addition to having the turkey. And I enjoyed the steak more than I enjoyed the turkey. Now that the seal has been broken, yeah, I'm in on Steaksgiving.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think turkey's washed. I think we finally have come around to...
I don't know. I'm good with turkey. I mean, you only have it once a year.
Like, so we did turkey twice.
Like, you can have
yeah.
you can have steak tonight if
you're
you
right,
want.
You're right.
You can
right.
make your family steak.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess, like, we do turkey twice a year. That's because we don't eat pork, so, like, we don't do, like, ham on Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Like I used to do when I was a kid. But, yeah, I think there needs to be turkey at Thanksgiving.
I agree as
I
an option.
I think how Paul's family did it was right.
Yeah. Where, it was
like,
nice.
It's an option.
You it was a nice option. I mean, yeah. you're pigging out anyway.
Because we've done turkey and ham. At the same Thanksgiving.
Oh, I hate ham. Ham's the only meat I don't like.
Wow.
And see, and the best part of the turkey is still, I think it's the next day.
Yeah.
The turkey.
No, turkey sandwiches.
Yeah. Like that's why it can't be
turkey and steak
totally
sandwiches, which we had the next
yeah, but
day.
See, I don't love steak reheated.
It's actually very good. A little mayo.
Yeah, steak reheated. It's
not great.
Have a, you lose yeah. some of the essence.
It's probably like the things that are not great the next day. Obviously, number one, the worst one is definitely French fries.
Yeah.
French fries are terrible the next day.
They're barely good like 20 minutes.
Steak yeah. is always good.
Because I feel like...
Steak is good cold. Like, what are you talking about?
Like, see, I would rather eat it cold because at least it's still cooked the way I want. But like if I like reheat it...
Yeah, when you microwave it...
It like, goes from medium to well done.
It just, yeah, ruins
well,
the...
Yeah. You don't do it for a minute. You go like 15 seconds.
Yeah. Now, I started doing air fryer.
15 seconds again. Air fryer? Okay.
Yeah. So the next day, steak in the air fryer. And same thing with French fries. It improves the French fry quality.
I've found that, you know, a lot of people freeze their turkeys, and I've found that, you know, you use air fryer, and I use to get my turkey ready to go straight out of the freezer, I drop the turkey in the fryer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just big fire comes out?
No. It just instantaneously, because it just turns right into what it needs to be.
Okay.
Right away.
Do you cook the turkey on Thanksgiving? Like for your family?
Yeah,
like,
I thought.
Like, does your family
and
let
I cook
you do-
it. I take it out of the freezer and I drop it in the fryer. Yeah.
Did your, like, does your, when you went home, did your, do you have to do everything because you're visiting or is it like hands off?
Oh, that's, yeah, I do everything.
Okay.
No, I literally do nothing. It was great. Yeah. I even asked to do
you
stuff.
You did shave your mustache, though.
That's, I did shave my mustache.
It was the right decision to make.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. I miss it.
Not for your... You said what? Your niece was scared of
my,
it?
My nephew didn't like it.
Yeah, no. So I think you made the right decision for that reason.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Explain to your nephew why you had it. Make him feel bad.
That would be funny. That has been fun to do. Well,
I'm going the mustache though because my dad just can't grow it anymore. He almost died.
Pull the guilt card on your, whatever, 3-year-old nephew.
Yeah. He would have no idea what
cancer
meant.
Is.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
This isn't wash-wash.
Wash-wash, continue.
This is not that. I just want to see what Paul's reaction to this is.
What?
Kirk Herbstreit today received a letter in the mail.
Yeah?
And said, "Dear Kirk, I was so sorry to hear about the loss of your beloved Ben. Ben brought so much comfort and unconditional love to millions of Americans across our nation. Are you annoyed
He brought
yet?
Me no love. That Wait. Dog brought me no love. That dog never once wagged its tail when it yeah. saw me, never licked me, never bunted its head against my leg. Nope. So anyway, continue.
We can keep... I'm just going to go... Sincerely, Joe Biden. That's what we're doing right now. president sending out letters for dead dogs?
Pardoning his crackhead son and sending out letters to Herb Street, who clearly has another dog already. Like, he's moved on to another dog.
Yeah, he's moved on.
Being the president, like, after the election, when you know, like, it's the ultimate senioritis. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, what am I going to fill my day with?
Yeah. Yeah, like, what do you do? You can't do anything for the next 3 months. Like, you're just like,
oh, Kirk Herbstreit's dog died a month ago? I'll write him
a letter.
Definitely not training his dog Major, because it probably bit somebody.
Yeah. Oh, did he mention, like, hey, I know.
Can we kill Major? Can we kill him? Like, hasn't he attacked, like, 15 people?
Hey,
effing Cujo.
I know raising dogs is tough. Believe me. I know.
He said, I know what it's like to lose a beloved pet, and I hope you can find some comfort in cherishing the beautiful memories you shared with Ben.
You should have lost Major.
He was
put him
a
down.
Good boy.
I mean, this is definitely some, like, staffer wrote this, right?
Yeah, I bet you Joe Biden
100%, like, that last line, especially, like, it was a good doggo. Like, get out of here.
Yeah. It could have been worse. Imagine if one of my friends has a dog with an Instagram account, and it's got over 50,000 followers, and it makes me want to off myself every day. Wow. But anyway, every now and then they write out a caption as if the dog wrote out the caption. Like, my paw rents, do this, that. What if...
That is disgusting behavior.
Well, off themselves.
Imagine something worse. What if a White House staffer wrote out a letter from Major to Ben with a woof woof at the end of it or something?
Yeah, but the translation would be like, I'm going to kill you.
No. Major would never do
it. Oh, right. He'll attack humans.
Major was one of the good German shepherds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the staffer's just like, I don't want to do this. They're like, listen, do you want to be a congressman one day?
Yeah,
like, you're dumb dog letter.
Yeah, your
right?
College intern's like, hey man, give me the dog letter for Kirk.
Yeah.
But from dog to dog.
Yeah. Hey, make sure I have it on my desk by Friday, all right?
Ben, the dog talk is washed.
Definitely. Don't need to hear it anymore. Don't need to see the dog at the...
It was a cute dog. Like, don't get me wrong.
And I felt bad. He was dying.
I didn't know the
sense.
Dog was dying. I figured that's why Kirk Herbstreit was bringing him around. And now Kirk Herbstreit is bringing around another dog. And it's like, okay, dog people that do not understand the concept of boundaries bringing their dog everywhere and saying, oh, he never does that. Like, that is something that needs to be stopped. It is.
Yeah. If he wants to travel with it, even if, like, he wants to take it to the game. Go for it. Knock yourself out.
I'm not bringing my cat everywhere.
Yeah, we don't need... we also don't need a game day segment. Like, we don't need it on game day. Like, come on.
Oh, remember that story about you told us about when you kicked your cat?
Yeah, I was lying in bed and the cat was asleep and I moved and the cat jumped up in the air because I moved a little bit too hard.
I've joined you.
Yeah, it's
I
it's,
kicked my cat.
Wow.
Oh, you punted it? Or you were sleeping and it was on top of the blanket?
Actually, like, I was pet parent. Sleeping and he bit the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Trying to play. And I just swung my leg over.
Ooh.
He's fine.
Yeah, they have short memories, these murder men.
Yeah, especially when you're knocking them upside the head.
Yeah, you just Aziz Al-Shahir to them.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not getting suspended.
Oh, PETA has plenty of time left in the day.
Yeah, come at me.
PETA business hours.
Oh, not wash the PETA on Thanksgiving.
Guilt tripping people for eating turkeys.
That always hits.
Losers.
I love that.
So that is Washed Watch every single Wednesday, 2:30. Let's just float right into garbage time before we get out here and turn things over to the bees of a killer nature.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
O.J. Simpson's ex-bodyguard has supposedly a recording of him confessing to the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. Minnesota police have seized said tape. Interesting.
All right.
I really want to know the next attempt of moving the goalpost by the people that believe that O.J. didn't do it.
I
want to know the next
They'll
step.
They'll say this is a joke. Or something.
He was just joshing around like he was with that TV reporter that one time. Or like when he wrote that book, If I Did It. Just joshing around. Not surprising.
I'm not surprised that this is happening. Whether it's... I mean, my question is, like, did he just find it? Did he know?
He must have known for a while. He was probably trying to sell it to
TMZ. Yeah, so this dude's going to go to jail for a while. for obstruction of justice.
I mean, I don't know. Like,
right?
I would am assuming that this bodyguard was not OJ's bodyguard going all the way back to 1994.
That's the question. I guess that's the question. Know? Yeah, like, when did this
30
come
years
from?
Later?
Right. Like this is probably, he probably recorded it and.
Like, is this a deathbed confession?
Could have been.
Like, or close
to. A security guard, you know?
Or could it, I also imagine OJ Simpson just like. I mean, because for 30 years, he has to, like, act like he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, just accidentally being like, and so when I was killing Ron Colby, I mean, like, was it just a slip of the tongue? And he was like, wait, OJ, what'd you say? And he goes, oh, sorry. So like always joking.
So, like, a 14-month period, we've got Tupac's murderer being arrested. Now we've got OJ's killer, or OJ's admission coming. What's next?
Did he go into prison?
JFK.
Oh.
The JFK one, I'm sure we will never get.
I mean, Donnie T says he's going to release the files.
I'm not holding my breath.
I'm not either, but I'm
I would love it, though, that's for sure. Continuing in garbage time, did anyone see that Bills quarterback Josh Allen got engaged to Haley Steinfeld of the Marvel Universe? Well, Josh Allen's ex, Brittany Williams, saw on a post of hers on Instagram, someone comment, haven't found the next pro athlete yet? She responded to this saying, luckily my boyfriend owns a team and doesn't play for one. Prayer emoji. Don't have to be with another brain-dead CTE athlete. She then deleted that post and said that her account had been hacked. She says they've been hacked several times tonight trying to get it resolved. If anyone has any tips, please let me know.
Wrong way to handle this. Just be salty. What a response.
I don't think it's cool to brag about, like, who's cooler, the quarterback or the guy who owns the team? Yeah. I think the quarterback is cooler every single time.
Hey, well, you know, stop messing up what you got. I mean, you've got this girl, you've got Travis Kelce's ex-girlfriend's going through it constantly, having mental breakdowns because she can't be part of the Chiefs Wives Club, even though, you know, her and Travis broke up. Mm-hmm. Keep your man.
Also,
can't believe you said that.
Do I have a podcast for you?
Yeah,
that's true.
The X-Wags pod.
That's true.
Just them just complaining about
bearing
just the jealousy.
Yes. I mean, there's worse ideas for
honestly,
a podcast than
Dre Michelle. Like, she's got a long list.
Yeah, just
like, she could be the lead host
every week. I mean, what we're describing is basically just. Love and basketball, just the podcast.
But then, like, you can have, like, the
Taylor. A little less love and a lot more.
No, it's like the, like, I don't know, post-game show of that,
the
when it goes wrong.
The post-game show of Peen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Of Michael Penix.
Michael Penix.
I'm sure he has an ex-girlfriend somewhere.
Yeah. He's, like, 28.
Yeah, come on.
Don't we all? It happens. Sometimes, like, I've dated an ex of an athlete in the local Houston area. I did not measure up, I don't think. Anyway, didn't last very long.
But at least you're not a brain-dead CTE athlete.
Well, a brain-dead radio host. That's probably worse.
Hey, my new man's a radio host.
Oh, yeah, no one's saying that. Anyway, on that note, that's going to, you know, he's a podcaster. Jeez, even worse. That's going to wrap up today's edition of Gallant and George. Big thanks to our callers, texters. Big thanks to Sean Mapes, to Joe George. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful rest of your Wednesday. Killer Bees are next. Peace.
Let's talk about LaBerge in Lake Charles. The best place to go and bet on your Texas teams when you want to leave Texas. Cannot imagine what the environment is going to be like this weekend for championship weekend, all the conferences. I have serious FOMO to not be there to watch on the 24-foot video wall, the Big Ten SEC championship games, all that going down this weekend. They got the 19 betting kiosks, great food from Chef Lyle. Look, there's a lot of places to go there. Asia, the restaurant there is fantastic. Ember, the steakhouse is incredible as well. Sean and I went there last time. We were there. When you leave Texas and bet your Texas teams, make sure you do it at ESPN Bet at LaBerge in Lake Charles.
ESPN 97.5.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.